Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update presented by Stark & Stark. And today we are going to discuss the redevelopment process in New Jersey as it pertains to property owners who are interested in redeveloping their own property. Joining us today are Timothy Dugan and Vincent Mangini, both shareholders in the law firm of Stark & Stark and members of the firm's redevelopment group. So I guess we'll start off with a softball question. You know, can you guys take a few minutes and walk through, explain to our listeners the redevelopment process as it currently stands under New Jersey law?
Sure. Rich, what may be helpful is if you go to the New Jersey law blog, you will find on the located next to the podcast a PDF document entitled The Redevelopment Process. It's a flow chart that if you print it out or look at while you listen to the podcast will make more sense and it'll be easier for you to follow along. It's a flow chart that we put together outlining the steps in a generic redevelopment plan where the town starts from the designation and we walk you all the way through the approval process through the adoption of the plan. Vince will take us through those steps now.
Yes. The way redevelopment planning works is that the governing body of the city or town or municipality will initially authorize its planning board to study a given area within the town. And they do that by passing a resolution and authorizing them to investigate the area. Usually a planner, either the city's planner or an outside consultant, will prepare a report, do an investigation, and then present that at a public hearing of the planning board. The planning board will enlist the assistance of the land planner during the hearing, go through the report, and take comments and questions from other public officials sometimes, not always, but certainly members of the public can attend that hearing, present evidence either in objection to or in favor of, or otherwise ask questions about the process. If the planning board decides that they want to go through with all or part of the preliminary area as a redevelopment zone, they will then vote to approve it and process that, send it off to the city council or municipal governing body to evaluate their recommendation. The city council will then hold a meeting. It's not a public hearing. It's not a hearing where the public is invited to speak, although it is a public meeting where they can attend and hear anything that the city council has to say about the planning board's recommendation. During that step in the process, a city council can either accept the planning board's recommendation verbatim, or they can modify it, or they can reject it outright. Assuming that the governing body of the municipality goes forward with all or part of a redevelopment area, they will pass a resolution so designating it, and at that point in time, whatever area it is that they've chosen to designate is a redevelopment area. At that point in time, they can move further with a redevelopment plan. The city does not have to, but if they want to, they can proceed to do so. While an area is designated as a redevelopment zone, its underlying zoning remains in place. But if the city goes forward with the plan, then that zoning would change and be governed by the plan that's adopted. The way a plan is adopted is the plan will be prepared either by the planning board or by the governing body, and very likely the city planner or the outside consultant will actually do the preparation. And the planning board will comment on it if they haven't already prepared it, and the city council will then proceed to introduce that plan in the form of an ordinance or pursuant to an ordinance. And the way that works is after they've prepared the plan and are ready to introduce it, they will do so on first reading at a public meeting, and then thereafter they will provide a notice in the newspaper and hold a actual public hearing on the plan where people, where members of the public, again, are able to come and voice their concerns, objections, preferences. And at that point, after the hearing is done, the City Council may proceed to adopt that on what's known as second reading, in which case, if they do, and the ordinance passes on second reading, that plan becomes effective. And it becomes new law and a new zoning ordinance. And anyone who's seeking to develop their property pursuant to it needs to do so under the guidelines and regulations that are established in the plan. One point I should make to you with respect to redevelopment plans and developing under them is that a redevelopment plan is not like a normal zoning ordinance where you can go in and get large-scale variances from what was enacted. Redevelopment plans can only be evaluated for development applications by the planning board, and you're basically limited to site plan and subdivision applications and perhaps minor variances or what are known as bulk variances. But if you as a property owner are seeking to vary from the redevelopment plan that's been put in place, you would need to seek an amendment to the plan, which, as I stated, you'd have to go through the same exact process from the planning stage moving forward.
So when you say to get a variance from the plan, people can obviously, I guess, go and try and have their property carved out of an existing plan. I mean, can people serve as like the redevelopers of their own property?
Yes. Once a plan has been put in place, a property owner can make an application pursuant to the plan, but they have to be careful to be compliant with that plan and to not deviate from its principal use requirements, density requirements, and similar things. If all they need is a variance from a setback or some other dimensional requirement, although the law isn't clear in this area, it would appear that a property owner can go to the planning board, ask for a site plan to build a building on the property, as well as some minor variance relief. If they need more than that, they would have to go back to the governing body and seek an amendment to the plan itself. But certainly, they can develop their property unless the city or the town or borough, what have you, has designated a redeveloper for any part or all of the zone.
Okay. So, you know, I've heard that, you know, say I'm a property owner, I hear that there's a redevelopment area and my property is located in or is adjacent to this area, you know, and I want to be the redeveloper of my own property. You know, Tim, could you tell me what should I be doing? What should I be concerned about? You know, what do I need to know?
One of the most important things that you have to do is you have to get involved early on. If your property's within a area that's being studied, I think it's very important to reach out, have a consultation with a lawyer and a land planner to understand in detail how this process works. The second thing you must do is identify your goal. If your goal is to be the redeveloper of your own property, you want to get active in this process at the very beginning. Once an area, Vince spoke about this ping pong back and forth between the planning board and the municipality. Once an area is designated and the town's going to move forward, it's going to start working on its plan. You must be involved in that planning process to make certain that what you want to do with your property gets incorporated into the plan. The second thing, you must get a feel from the town, either ask them directly or try to find out through your political contacts, does the town intend to have one developer be designated to do the entire property, or are they willing to break it up into components and allow individuals to become involved and redevelop their own property? Sometimes it's not practical to have 20 or 30 individuals trying to redevelop their own property. It may make more sense to have one large developer come in and do an entire area. Second, if you're going to go forward, you're going to have to understand that you're going to have to comply with all the building requirements as well as have the financial ability to do it. And you're going to have to do it in a timely manner. If your goal was to hold this property for a long period of time, and a plan comes along, you're going to have to get involved and be ready to start developing it, or you may lose out to another developer who's going to do the same project on your own property. But I do think the most important thing you must do is understand the process, get involved early on, reach out to the township to get an understanding of what they intend to do and get the proper professionals that understand how the process works to guide you. If you're not going to be able to redevelop your own property, you may want to challenge that plan to try to get your property removed from the area. That involves showing up, presenting evidence before planning boards, possibly filing what's called a prerogative writ action to challenge the decision of the planning board or the municipality. You may also want to use that as a negotiating technique, which is if they're not going to allow you to redevelop your own property, you may try to defeat the plan to pull your property out. These are all costly steps. If you're hiring lawyers and land planners and you're objecting before planning boards and filing prerogative writs, you're going to be spending a lot of money. So it's very important early on to try to develop a strategy, that is financially, makes financial sense, as well has a good chance of succeeding, and being reasonable and working with the city to try to move forward. A lot of these redevelopment plans are very positive. So they're good for the area. However, people are not excited when their properties are the ones that are being targeted for the taking.
Exactly, Tim. And I would emphasize the proactive nature of the process. It is very important to understand that the only notice you're ever going to receive, at least under current law, is after the governing body asks the planning board to do a preliminary investigation. The planning board will provide you with notice. When I say you, anyone that's in the study area who owns property in the study area will be provided with notice, and that notice will also be published in the newspaper. But after that hearing has taken place and the planning board has issued its recommendation to the city council, no more individualized notice will be served, at least not under current law. The only notice that will be given thereafter will be published in the newspaper, and that's when the city council proceeds to hold a hearing on the ordinance to adopt the redevelopment plan. So once you get, if you're a property owner in the proposed study area, once you get notice of that planning board hearing on the preliminary investigation, it's up to you to stay active in the process and to go down to the municipal hall and make phone calls to your elected representatives and city officials to find out what the process is, where it is, and to have your professionals, planners, attorneys, and the like involved in the process and dealing with the city officials and the elected officials to get your perspective and your interests up front and considered.
So being informed, having a plan of action, really important. What other, you know, what we've discussed here today, what are the other, you know, what would be your four or five most important things that people need to take away from this podcast?
Well, Rich, one is get involved early. If you read about it in the newspaper and you find out that there's an area, a study area, you've got to develop your strategy. The second thing is once the area designation has been adopted, confirm whether or not you're in there by going to the town and getting a copy of it. If you run into any problems, there's a public records request that you can do. The Open Public Records Request Act enables you to make requests upon your township to get a copy of the designation. Third is identify which are the precise points in time where you must act. If you look at our redevelopment flow chart, we have various tips, and we identify what are the most crucial points to either present testimony to challenge a plan or when you must be proactive to have your comments or your thoughts included in a plan. But I think those are the most important points that you must take away from this podcast.
Yeah, I would agree. Being proactive means staying involved in the process, learning about that process, and staying involved in it from the get-go. You may run into towns that will not be, you may own property in a town that is not cooperative and doesn't want the information to get out because they already have a redeveloper lined up and they're not interested in hearing from other property owners. If that is the case, as Tim pointed out, the Open Public Records Act is an excellent vehicle to obtain information if the town is otherwise not cooperative with you, and stay involved in the process thereafter once you've obtained the information. Towns have many ways in which they can accomplish redevelopment, one of which is by giving the individual property owners the right and opportunity to develop their property. There's a specific provision in the local redevelopment and housing law that provides towns to allow for voluntary redevelopment of areas. But if they've already selected a redeveloper, you're going to have to try that much harder to convince the town officials to allow you some leeway in developing your own property.
Okay. Well, thanks. I think this has been, really informative podcast as usual. So why don't you guys just tell people, if you want more information, how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, you could reach us through our New Jersey Law Blog at www.njlawblog.com, or at the Stark & Stark website, www.stark-stark.com. This is Timothy Dugan. You can reach me directly at tduggan@stark-stark.com. That's my email address. Or call me directly at 609-895-7353.
And this is Vincent Mangini. You can reach me directly at 609-219-7437. Or send me an email at vmangini@stark-stark.com.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.